Hello, my name's Dave Emery, and this is Side 2 of For the Record Program number 464, titled, I Told You So, More About the Subversion of Operation Green Quest. This is being recorded on June 13th of the year 2004. We're going to plunge right in, and we're going to take a look at the evolution of the Saudi-Bush economic relationships. We took a look at those in Side 1 as the Arbusto Energy BCCI milieu evolved into the Harkin Energy BCCI milieu. We took a look at Robert Mueller's role in helping to, keep things discreet vis-a-vis the BCCI investigation when he was the U.S. attorney in charge of that under the George I. We also took a look at Talat Altman, part of the BCCI Harkin milieu, and how he evolved into a major power in the administration of Bush 1. We're now going to take a look at how that same Saudi Bush milieu evolved into the Islamist element in the Republican Party's ethnic outreach organization. That, in turn, overlaps Al-Qaeda, the Muslim Brotherhood, Hamas, and, as we move farther back, the Al-Taqwa organization and the background of Al-Taqwa, the Underground Reich. We're going to return once again to the book House of Bush, House of Saud by Craig Unger, published in hardcover by Scribner's, subtitled The Secret Relationship Between the World's Two Most Powerful Dynasties. Of the evolution of the Republican Party's ethnic outreach organization's Islamist component, we read, Al-Kifa Refugee Center, the Brooklyn branch of which was the locus of the 1993 World Trade Center bombing conspiracy, was effectively such a U.S. outpost for Al-Qaeda. Even events sponsored by supposedly mainstream national Muslim groups could be overtly anti-Semitic. At a 1998 rally sponsored by CAIR and the American Muslim Council, for example, 500 people sang a song with the lyrics, No to the Jews, Descendants of the Apes, unquote. As a result, Norquist's Muslim strategy was sometimes criticized, usually from the right, for giving credibility to Muslim groups that seemed harmless, but were in fact supporting extremists. Outspoken critics of the policy included conservative writers and commentators such as Frank Gaffney, Cal Thomas, Michelle Malkin, Kenneth Timmerman, and David Keene. According to Mona Charon, quote, The names of the Saudi fronts are benign, but a cursory examination of the leaders reveals their radicalism. Eric Victors, executive director of the American Muslim Council, founded by Abdurrahman al-Amoudi, has refused to denounce any terror group practicing suicide bombing in the Middle East and has even declined to denounce Al-Qaeda, calling it a, quote, resistance movement, unquote. If there were any doubts, AMC's website made its position about Islamist terrorism quite clear, warning its Muslim readers that when the feds came to investigate terrorism, quote, don't talk to the FBI, unquote. Again, parenthetically, groups like CAIR and AMC have come to be the main advocacy groups for the Muslim community in the United States, and that is singularly unfortunate because they're both extensions of the Muslim Brotherhood, an Islamo-fascist organization, and as I said inside one, they are as representative of the average Muslim or Arab as the Italian Fascist Party was of the average Italian and as the German Nazi Party was of the average German. About this, we read from House of Bush, House of Saud, according to Mustafa El Hussein, secretary of a Center for Muslim Intellectuals known as the Ibn Khaldun Society, quote, There is a great deal of bitterness that such groups have tarnished the reputation of mainstream Muslims, unquote, because, quote, self-appointed leaders spew hatred toward America and the West and yet claim to be the legitimate spokespersons for the American Muslim community, unquote. El Hussein believes not only that they should, quote, be kept at arm's length from the political process, but that they should be actively opposed as extremists, unquote. Bear in mind that, again, through the Muslim Brotherhood and the Bank Al-Taqwa and people like Ahmed Huber, Youssef Nada, and in the background, the late Francois Janoux, the Muslim Brotherhood and its cat's paws in the U.S. Muslim community, such as AMC and CAIR, are in effect extensions of the Underground Reich. Turning once again to Grover Norquist, his Islamic Institute, the Islamist element within the GOP. Nevertheless, with Norquist working behind the scenes, Bush aggressively pursued the Islamists in hope of winning their endorsements. In appearances on TV, Bush and fellow campaign staffers referred not just to churches and synagogues as places of worship, but to mosques as well. Again and again, Governor Bush sought out meetings with Muslim leaders, often without looking into their backgrounds. He invited the founder of the American Muslim Council, Abdurrahman Alamoudi, to the governor's mansion in Austin. In the mid-1990s, Alamoudi had played an important role in recruiting as many as 100 Islamic lay leaders for the U.S. military. The Wall Street Journal reported that he had arranged for, quote, an arm of the Saudi government, unquote, called the Institute of Islamic and Arabic Sciences to train, quote, soldiers and civilians to provide spiritual guidance when paid Muslim chaplains aren't available, unquote. The journal added that there were indications that the school disseminates the intolerant and anti-Western strain of Islam espoused by the Saudi kingdom's religious establishment, unquote. A self-proclaimed supporter of Hamas and Hezbollah, Alamoudi reportedly attended a terrorist summit in Beirut later in 2000 with leaders of Hamas, Hezbollah, and Al-Qaeda. But such a militant background did not keep Alamoudi away from Norquist and Bush. According to an article by Frank Gaffney, Alamoudi wrote two checks for $10,000 each, one an apparent loan, to help found Norquist's Islamic Institute. Skipping down. Astonishingly enough, the fact that dangerous militant Islamists like Sami Al-Arian were campaigning for Bush went almost entirely unnoticed. Noting the absence of criticism from Democrats, Bush speechwriter David Frum later wrote, quote, "There is one way that we Republicans are very lucky. We face political opponents too crippled by political correctness to make an issue of these kinds of security lapses," unquote. I would add parenthetically, the so-called progressive sector is actually lionizing people like Sami Al-Arian, which is even worse. Continuing, those who were most outraged were staunch Bush supporters and staffers like Frum, quote, "Not only were the Al-Arians not avoided by the Bush White House, they were actively courted," Frum wrote in the National Review more than 2 years later. "Candidate Bush allowed himself to be photographed with the Al-Arian family while campaigning in Florida." The Al-Arian case was not a solitary lapse. That outreach campaign opened relationships between the Bush campaign and some very disturbing persons in the Muslim American community. Nevertheless, Norquist continued to build a coalition of Islamist groups to support Bush. On July 31, 2000, the Republican National Convention opened in Philadelphia with a prayer by a Muslim, Talat Atman, in which Atman offered a dua, a Muslim benediction. It was the first time a Muslim had addressed any major U.S. political gathering. A third-generation American and a businessman from Chicago of Muslim Arab descent, Atman was chairman of Norquist's Islamic Institute. He had also been the board member of Harkin Energy, representing the interests of Abdullah Taha Baksh, the Saudi investor who had helped Bush make his fortune by bailing out Harkin in the late 1980s. When the convention ended on August 3, 2000, after George W. Bush had formally been nominated for president, between his family's extended personal and financial ties to the House of Saud and his campaign's ties to Islamists, it could be said that he was truly the Arabian candidate. And we're going to take a look now at how the GOP Islamist milieu overlaps the targets of Operation Green Quest. And as we saw in For the Record 462, and as we're going to see again later in this broadcast, the FBI, under Robert Mueller, who deep-sixed the BCCI investigation, has actively frustrated Operation Green Quest. We're going to turn now to an excellent recently published book by Douglas Farah, a reporter for the Washington Post. It's called Blood from Stones, The Secret Financial Network of Terror. And this book is just out in hardcover. All of the information like the ISBN number, publisher, etc., copyright date will be in the description for this program in the Spitfire website. Of the Operation Green Quest raids, and one of the major elements of those raids, the SAR Foundation and the SAFA Trust, we read, "In the early morning hours of Wednesday, March 20th, 2002, 150 federal agents, many with their guns drawn, raided 14 offices and homes in the suburbs of Washington, D.C. FBI and customs agents loaded 7 panel trucks with more than 500 boxes of documents, computers, and financial records of more than 100 charities, think tanks, and businesses affiliated with the Herndon, Virginia-based SAR Foundation. Most of the interrelated businesses and charities were run out of a single office at 555 Grove Street, a brown brick and glass three-story office complex on a quiet street. The SAR Foundation, the backbone of the cluster, takes its name from Suleiman Abdul Aziz Al-Raji, head of one of Saudi Arabia's wealthiest families who funneled millions of dollars through the cluster of businesses and charities. The al-Raji name was on the Golden Chain list of early al-Qaeda supporters that was found in the Benevolence International files in Sarajevo. By the way, one of the people on that list was Khalid bin Mahfouz. Continuing. The SAR Foundation was incorporated in Herndon, Virginia on July 29, 1983 and formally dissolved on December 28, 2000. However, many of the foundation's functions were taken over by the Safa Trust, an organization registered at the same address and run by several of the same board members. Law enforcement officials dubbed the maze of the overlapping companies with shared directors the Safa Group. The groups often financed each other, sending the money in circles. The scores of Safa organizations are controlled by about 15 Middle Eastern and Pakistani men who serve with each other on a host of institutional boards. Four senior leaders of the network are Iraqis who had lived in Saudi Arabia and have been members of the Muslim Brotherhood. In the United States, the men used Saudi money to launch some of the nation's leading Muslim organizations. In 1983, with money from the al-Raji family, the SAR Foundation was born. The director was Yaqub Mirza, a Pakistani native with a Ph.D. in physics from the University of Texas. Other groups were formed shortly afterward. Five of the top Safa executives live in spacious homes on adjoining lots in Safa Court in Herndon, a 22-acre parcel of land bought by one of the SAR-affiliated firms in 1987. In time, the Safa network owned or invested in scores of businesses worldwide. Dairy farms in Zimbabwe, schools on the Ivory Coast, a huge poultry business in the state of Georgia, an Islamic mutual fund in Washington State, an investment company in Malaysia, shell companies in Panama, and commercial apple orchards in Chile. By the late 1980s, the SAR Foundation had become one of the Washington, D.C. region's biggest landlords. "The funds came very easily," said a businessman who dealt with SAR. "If they wanted a few million dollars, they called the al-Rajis, who would send it along." At the same time, the leaders of the SAR Foundation incorporated and sat on the boards of charities and nonprofit organizations. Many were branches of Saudi charities that operate worldwide. And next, we're going to take a look at the overlap between the SAR Foundation, the Safa Trust, the targets of Operation Green Quest, the Muslim Brotherhood, and the Al-Taqwa Network, NADA International. Earlier in this book, Douglas Farah notes not only that Ahmed Huber was a top European neo-Nazi leader advocating alliances between neo-Nazis and Islamists, but also talks about some of the fascist sympathies of the Al-Taqwa milieu. And again, Youssef Nada, the founder of Al-Taqwa, was not only a German intelligence agent in World War II, according to Dollars for Terror, but also helped the Grand Mufti of Jerusalem escape from Germany at the end of World War II, according to a series in the Asia Times. About the targets of Operation Green Quest and the link-ups with Al-Taqwa and beyond that, the Underground Reich, Operation Green Quest was launched in October of 2001 as part of the Customs Service initiative to track bin Laden's financial empire. In a small, windowless conference room, Green Quest agents charted the Byzantine relationships among the more than 100 Safa network entities, a spiderweb of overlapping names and organizations. Green Quest investigators also charted the relationship among the Safa network entities and the Muslim Brotherhood through the Al-Taqwa management empire of Youssef Nada. U.S. officials said they had tracked about $20 million from Safa entities flowing through Nada's bank Al-Taqwa, but said the total could be much higher. The ties between Nada and Safa leaders were many and long-standing, as were their ties to other Brotherhood leaders. Two members of the Safa group helped set up Bank Al-Taqwa in the Bahamas, and several Safa leaders loaned Nada money. In 1976, two other men who later became prominent in the Safa group founded Nada International, a Brotherhood bank in Liechtenstein. For a time, Suleiman Abdul al-Raji, the SAR Foundation founder, worked for Nada at that bank. Nada International was designated a terrorist financier by the Treasury Department after 9/11. By the way, last week in For the Record 463, we took a look at some of the work of Lucy Commissar, who uncovered the fact, indicated in some previous programs, that in fact these same networks were utilized by Saddam Hussein to move around some of his ill-gotten gains as well. And some of the people involved in Al-Taqwa, such as Ahmed Idris Nasruddin, were involved in that. Al-Taqwa was involved in that, and so was Baudin Dunant. The member of the board of directors of SECO, the holding company that governs the Bin Laden family's European business holdings, and also a friend of and attorney for François Genoux, a key Third Reich spy and post-war underground Reich operative whom we've looked at in the past, and he was sent front and center in the founding of Al-Taqwa. What we're going to look at next concerns how the investigation into Sami Al-Arian, the Bush campaigner, led to the bust of Operation Green Quest raids of March 20th of 2002, and that led directly to the Republican Party's Islamist element and Grover Norquist's Islamic Institute. Returning once again to Blood from Stones by Douglas Farah. The Safa Group might have escaped scrutiny in 2001 if not for a raid that occurred 7 years earlier, according to another thread of investigation. In 1995, the FBI raided the home and offices of Sami Al-Arian, a Kuwaiti-Palestinian computer science professor at the University of South Florida in Tampa. The Fed suspected Al-Arian, a slight, bearded, and balding man, was secretly funneling money to terrorists. They believed he was a senior member of the Palestinian Islamic Jihad, a group that unleashes suicide bombers against Israelis. Al-Arian was a vocal activist on Palestinian causes, and he frequently spoke at Islamic conferences. At one 1991 conference, Al-Arian, dressed in the flowing robes of an imam, was videotaped shouting in Arabic, "Let us damn America, let us damn Israel, let us damn their allies until death," unquote. In the early 1990s, Al-Arian set up organizations to raise money for orphans and widows in the study of Islam. He used the organizations to sponsor Muslim conferences, including one that featured Omar Abdel Rahman, the blind sheik who investigated the 1993 World Trade Center attack. Al-Arian also sponsored the U.S. visa of Ramadan Abdullah Shalah, who joined Al-Arian on the university faculty from 1992 to 1994. But Shalah suddenly disappeared in October of 1995, immediately following the assassination of PIJ leader Fatih Ibrahim Shikaki. Shalah resurfaced a few days later at Shikaki's funeral in Damascus, Syria, where the slain leader's body was taken with full military honors. Shalah, standing by the casket, had been named Shikaki's successor. Al-Arian said he was, quote, shocked, unquote, at Shalah's ties to PIJ. But the FBI finally swooped in. The raid on Al-Arian led to the Safa Group. The FBI found letters documenting Safa entities' financial support of Al-Arian to the tune of tens of thousands of dollars a year. In a September 7, 1993 letter, Safa Group leaders told one Al-Arian-led group, quote, "We consider you a part of us and an extension of us, and we as a part of you," unquote. Adding that their financial donations of tens of thousands of dollars was, quote, "for you as a group, regardless of the party or facade you use the donation for," unquote. But the Al-Arian and Safa Group investigations languished. In the 2000 elections, Al-Arian supported George W. Bush, urging Muslims to vote Republican as the best hope of ending discrimination against Arab Americans. Al-Arian and his family were photographed with a beaming Bush and his wife Laura during a Florida campaign stop. Al-Arian liked to boast that he had delivered considerably more, unquote, than the 537 votes that gave Bush his victory in Florida and allowed him to capture the White House. On June 20, 2001, Al-Arian was invited to the White House as part of a large delegation of Muslims to be briefed by presidential advisor Karl Rove. So again, one cannot stress strongly enough the importance of the Islamist link to the GOP. That is what links the GOP to Al-Taqwa and to Al-Qaeda, and in the background, the Muslim Brotherhood, and in the background of that, the Underground Reich, although I believe the Bush administration itself is essentially a point element of the Underground Reich. We'll talk more about that in future broadcasts. Now, let's take a look at how some of these institutional economic relationships and some of these established political relationships have manifested themselves forward through the years. Let's return once again to Talat Altman, a director, the managing director of the Islamic Institute, director of Harkin Energy, functionary of the BCCI milieu, and close ally of both George's Bush. Returning once again to House of Bush, House of Saud by Craig Unger, In 2002, during the presidency of George W. Bush, Altman again won access to the White House and met with Secretary of the Treasury Paul O'Neill to discuss U.S. government raids on Muslim charities that were allegedly funding terror. As we saw in For the Record 356, these were the Operation Green Quest raids that he was addressing, as we have seen. And I would note that Paul O'Neill was dismissed as Secretary of the Treasury about 7 months later. Also, we should take a look at what has happened to the Sami al-Arian investigation as well. And it was the bust of Sami al-Arian that led, or the investigation of Sami al-Arian that led to the Operation Green Quest raids. Also from House of Bush, House of Saud. In December 2003, clerks at a federal courthouse in Tampa accidentally destroyed search warrants in the al-Arian case. The documents contained affidavits from federal agents that supported 1995 searches of al-Arian's home and offices and were among thousands of documents shredded sometime between 1998 and 2002. As this book went to press, there were serious questions as to whether the destruction of the documents might affect his prosecution. So note that federal employees in Tampa, quote, accidentally, unquote, destroyed some of the key documents in the al-Arian indictment, and that threatens the future of the investigation. So note that Talat Altman of the Harkin BCCI Islamic Institute milieu interceded on behalf of the targets of the Operation Green Quest raids, which overlapped the GOP to a considerable extent, representing a political concretization or condensation of the Harkin BCCI Bush Petroleum Saudi connections. Now we're going to take a look at how Robert Mueller's FBI has helped to deep six the Operation Green Quest raids. We took a look at this in a big way in For the Record 462. We've also looked at this in For the Records 432, 433, and 435. Reviewing an element that we looked at in For the Record 462, this is from Newsweek of December 10th, 2003. It's called Who's War on Terror? And skipping down in this article, we read, but as the Green Quest team made headlines, its investigations triggered a bitter dispute within the government. Internally, FBI officials have derided Green Quest agents as a bunch of cowboys whose actions have undermined more important long-range FBI investigations into terrorist financing. Green Quest sources in turn accuse the FBI of jealousy. Now that the customs-led Green Quest operation has been folded into the new Homeland Security Department, Newsweek has learned, the FBI and its parent agency, the Justice Department, have demanded that the White House instead give the FBI total control over Green Quest. One senior law enforcement official called the lack of coordination between the FBI and Green Quest, quote, an intolerable situation, unquote, and noted that the Bureau, not Homeland Security, has been formally designated by President Bush as the lead agency, unquote, for terrorism investigations. Quote, you can't have two lead agencies, unquote, conducting terror cases, the official said. And still more about the about Robert Mueller's FBI's deep sixing of the Operation Green Quest raids. This, also researched for us by a listener, is from the National Review of May 27th of 2003. It's called Perilous Power Play, co-authored by Rita Katz, who helped to initiate the Operation Green Quest raids, and Josh Devon. Of the investigation of P-TECH, a computer software company heavily capitalized by Yassin Al-Qadi, suspected of terrorist financing, and also a company that developed software for, check this out, not only the FBI and the Treasury Department, but for the Air Force and the FBI, which may explain at least in part some of the anomalous behavior of air defense units on September 11th. Of the investigation into P-TECH and the FBI's less than vigorous attitude toward this, we read, furthermore, the FBI was aware that P-TECH provided a computer software for several government agencies, including the FBI itself, the FAA, the U.S. Treasury, the Department of Defense, the IRS, and the White House, proving a visible and viable threat to national security. The FBI ignored the repeated requests of concerned employees. Frighteningly, when an employee told the president of P-TECH he felt he had to contact the FBI regarding Qadi's involvement in the company, The president allegedly told him not to worry because Yaqub Mirza, who was on the board of directors of the company and was himself a target of a terrorist financing raid in March of 2002, had contacts high within the FBI. Yaqub Mirza set up the companies and charities that were raided in Operation Green Quest. And still later in this article, now, the FBI is attempting to wrest the SAR network investigation from Green Quest. That is the 3/20/2002 raids that led to the SAR network, and take all the credit for Green Quest's dedication and hard work. The agreement between Ashcroft and Ridge is a crushing blow to Green Quest as it effectively dissolves the outstanding task force. According to the memorandum, the Secretary of Homeland Security agrees that no later than June 20, 2003, Operation Green Quest will no longer exist as a program name, unquote. Green Quest, the most successful anti-terrorist financing task squad in the history of the United States, is being disbanded because of the FBI's lust for power and glory. At a time when Al-Qaeda is resurging, the more agencies we have sharing information and investigating terrorism, the better off this nation will be. Given the FBI's track record, the Bureau should be punished, not rewarded for unjustifiably bullying a new department into giving it more power, especially after FBI Director Robert Mueller admitted the Bureau does not have the analytical capability to provide effective counterterrorism. So in addition to Talat Otman, the FBI under Robert Mueller, who was less than vigorous in his investigation of BCCI, is deep-sixing the Operation Green Quest raids. And as you heard in For the Record 310 from July 8th of 2001, I theorize that just such behavior might very well be expected from Robert Mueller, given his background. Reviewing once again a passage that we read inside one of the program from House of Bush, House of Saud by Craig Unger, of the Senate BCCI investigation, not incidentally chaired by John Kerry, we read, in addition, according to the 1992 Senate BCCI investigation, the Bush Justice Department went to great lengths to block prosecution of BCCI. The Senate probe determined that federal officials repeatedly obstructed congressional and local investigations into BCCI, and for 3 years thwarted attempts by Manhattan District Attorney Robert Morgenthau to obtain critical information about the bank. The Senate investigation concluded that in 1990 and 1991, the Bush Justice Department, with Assistant Attorney General Robert Mueller leading the way, consistently put forth a public impression that it was aggressively moving against BCCI. But in fact, the Senate probe said the Justice Department was actually impeding, quote, the investigations of others through a variety of mechanisms ranging from not making witnesses available to not returning telephone calls to claiming that every aspect of the case was under investigation in a period when little, if anything, was being done. Specifically, among other charges, the Senate report alleged that a federal prosecutor lied to Morgenthau's office about important material, that federal prosecutors failed to investigate serious allegations that BCCI laundered drug money, and the Justice Department personnel in Washington, Miami, and Tampa actively obstructed and impeded congressional attempts to investigate BCCI in 1990. And again, that was headed up by Robert Mueller. In conclusion, it's important to note, too, that one should not get hung up on the politically correct aspects of this investigation. It has unfortunately impeded the investigation into the GOP Islamist Al-Qaeda link that, again, people governed by PC considerations have mistakenly viewed this as, quote, anti-Muslim, unquote. Al-Taqwa, the Muslim Brotherhood, the Islamic Institute, the Safa Trust, the SAR Foundation are as representative of Arabs and Muslims as the Nazi and fascist parties are of Germans and Italians. This concludes Side 2 of For the Record program number 464, I Told You So. More on the subversion of Operation Green Quest, being recorded on June 13th of the year 2004. My name's Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.